Welcome back to Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. We have Mary Graham, Mary Beth Finster, and Julie Musselman here in the studio today. So excited as we're drawing on the final days here. We are reading from Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. It's a do-it-yourself retreat in preparation for Marian consecration. If you just happen to be tuning in for the first time and you're not familiar with this and you don't have your retreat materials yet, you can get them at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com. And we're on page 117, day 33, putting it all together. For the last 4 days, we've been reviewing the last 4 weeks of our retreat. During these days, we've not only been reviewing the material, we've also begun to put together all that we've learned. Father Michael Gately says, we've begun to put it together. We're probably not yet at a point where we can grasp the manifold truth of Marian consecration in a single gaze, as John Paul put it. To get to this point, a unifying statement may be helpful. Something like the first principle and foundation that St. Ignatius of Loyola came up with to summarize and give clarity and focus to his spirituality.
Well, several of the saints that we've learned from during these past weeks have written excellent prayers or formulas of consecration. Father Gately is not going to present their formulas here, so if any of you are interested, you can go to the first appendix to find those. But instead, he is going to present an updated prayer of consecration that combines the main insights we've covered during the retreat. Even though he said he's no saint, he feels confident to do this because he's making use of the actual words and ideas of all four of the Marian saints of our retreat. Moreover, he feels emboldened to compose this new prayer because of the words of Pope Pius XII on the occasion of St. Louis de Montfort's canonization. And Pope Pius XII's words are, quote, "True devotion aims essentially at union with Jesus under the guidance of Mary. The form and practice of this devotion may vary according to time, place, and personal inclination. Within the bounds of sound and safe doctrine, of orthodoxy and dignity of worship, the Church leaves her children a just margin of liberty. She is conscious that true and perfect devotion to Our Lady is not bound up in any particular modes in such a way that one of them can claim a monopoly over the others."
That's a great quote from Pius XII. Inspired by these words and taking the liberty the Pope gives us, Father Gately offers the following updated prayer of consecration that aims to capture the essentials of what we've learned during our retreat. Now, if it doesn't fit with your personal inclination, don't worry. You can always take the liberty to write your own prayer or use one written by the saints, and just look at Appendix number 1 for those prayers. Anyways, here's the summary statement of what we've learned, a statement that's also a prayer from the heart. So we pray. Tomorrow we'll be praying this solemnly, and today we can review it so we can more greatly enter into what we'll be consecrating tomorrow. I, and you state your name, Julie Musselman, a repentant sinner, renew and ratify today in your hands, O Immaculate Mother, the vows of my baptism. I renounce Satan and resolve to follow Jesus Christ even more closely than before. Mary, I give you my heart. Please set it on fire with love for Jesus. Make it always attentive to his burning thirst for love and for souls. Keep my heart in your most pure heart, that I may love Jesus and the members of his body with your own perfect love. Mary, I entrust myself totally to you, my body and soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all my good actions. Please make of me, of all that I am and have, whatever most pleases you. Let me be a fit instrument in your immaculate and merciful hands for bringing the greatest possible glory to God. If I fall, please lead me back to Jesus. Wash me in the blood and water that flows from his pierced side, and help me never to lose my trust in this fountain of love and mercy. With you, O Immaculate Mother, you who always do the will of God, I unite myself to the perfect consecration of Jesus as he offers himself in the Spirit to the Father for the life of the world. Amen.
Tomorrow you'll consecrate yourself or reconsecrate yourself totally to Jesus through Mary. And that's great. To do this, though, you'll need a prayer of consecration, Whether you use the one that we've just presented to you, or one from the saints, or one of your own, Father Michael Gately encourages you to meditate on its meaning today. Such meditation on the prayer of consecration is a perfect preparation for Consecration Day. By the way, you may want to read ahead to the first section of tomorrow's readings, entitled Before the Consecration.
And I'd like to kind of pick up on that, Mary, that little bit of reading before the consecration, which is on page 123 of the book, because as people are listening to this, there's a couple great ideas in here I'd like to share. So Father Gately says, "Congratulations, you've made it to Consecration Day. Now get ready for a glorious new morning in your spiritual life. Of course, you're already ready. You've been faithfully preparing for this moment for the last 33 days. So here are just three things I recommend by way of final preparation. First of all, make a good confession. But if you don't have time to do so before the consecration, then from your heart, tell the Lord you're sorry for your sins and make a resolution to go to confession as soon as you reasonably can. Second of all, write out or print out the prayer of consecration so that you can sign it after you've recited it." And I like actually writing it in my own hand. I think that, for me, really makes me concentrate on each one of the words. And third, get a miraculous medal to wear around your neck as a sign of your consecration, or keep one in your purse or wallet. And for the explanation on the miraculous medal, go to Appendix 2. And these are just three recommendations. They're not essential. But I know from many of the groups that have done this and many of the people that I've spoken to, each one of these three things, a good confession, writing out the consecration prayer, and getting a miraculous medal as a sign of their consecration, is really key to consecrating tomorrow, Mary. So I wanted to just share those tips. And now we'd like to just have a little bit of commentary on preparing for consecretion and what are some of the things that have been going on in our homes. Mary Beth, you want to start off with the amazing coincidence we discovered today?
Well, it was funny when Julie and I got together this morning. We both were just reveling in a peace. Not so much yet that we were going to do the consecration prayer, but she had cleaned this weekend and closets looked remarkably just in order and there was less stuff. And I looked at her and I go, "Julie, I didn't even know that, but that's exactly what I did." And she took me into her bedroom, and she showed me this bureau that was perfectly cleaned. And she just said,
"Not just clean, nothing on it.
Nothing on it.
Empty."
And Mary, what was funny is she just said, "I just love how it looks." And I looked at her, I go, "Julie, those were the identical words that I said morning." Because when you enter into my house, I do have a church pew that's right there and a stairwell that leads to a teenager cave upstairs.
Right.
And whenever Julie comes into my house, she knows there is so much stuff at our front door.
I wasn't sure that was a pew. That was a holding place.
Nobody would know it. And both of us, for whatever reason, and it could be coincidence. I don't think it's coincidence. I think it's just what the consecration has brought out and the significance of the meaning of just taking out some of the clutter. And then when she took me to this closet that she had selected a few things that she needed, her go-to things, that now were properly placed in order that she could easily find. And as I'm reading this prayer,
without them falling on my head as I open the door.
Exactly. But yet as I was reading Father Gately's prayer, how he pulled out the best of the best of these four great Marian saints for us and put these tools right at our fingertips to help us, as a little child, that I can find these things quickly and to go closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we both just looked at each other and go, "There is no coincidence."
So it's neat, you know.
So where was I all weekend? Not cleaning, that's for sure.
Well, and for me, I'm not really good at cleaning. Like dusting, vacuuming, all of that isn't so much my skill, but tidying up and getting rid of stuff and making it easier, that's more of my strength. But, you know, this past weekend, I was privileged to be with Father Gately and the Marian Missionaries of Divine Mercy, and they pray the consecration prayer every single solitary day after Mass. So I got to hear these young men and father saying this exact prayer that's on page 118. And they have it memorized. So I'm looking at the prayer card, but they have it all memorized, and they're saying it. And the biggest light bulb went on in my head that I had not connected, even though I've consecrated several times before. This prayer, exactly, each sentence is very specifically written, because he's drawing the one or two most important thoughts from each of the four saints.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the first paragraph where it talks about, I renew the vows of my baptism, and I renounce Satan and resolve to follow Jesus Christ even more closely than ever before. That's from a couple of our days with St. Louis de Montfort. And then, Mary, I give you my heart. Please set it on fire with love for Jesus. That, I believe, is from the days where we studied the exchange of hearts with Mother Teresa. The greatest possible glory to God, that piece of the consecration prayer, is straight from St. Maximilian Kolbe. And then the ending part with the love of fountain of love and mercy, definitely pulling from John Paul II there. And so as I was reading it and listening to the men pray it, like I said, these things just jumped out at me. And I love what Mary Beth just said about how we're little kids, so we need these reminders and these very scripted words so that we can have a better and more easier way to see that which what we're doing here with the consecration.
Ladies, it is time that we take a break. We've mentioned several appendixes now during this segment. I would like to, in our next segment, let's look at the appendixes that are in the book, kind of walk through the book and see what's there and share with the listeners what they have to look forward to for the remainder of the book. 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. Welcome back to Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. We are completing our consecration preparation with 33 Days to Morning Glory by Father Michael Gately. It is a do-it-yourself retreat, and there's a world of treasures contained in this simple little book. We're going to now take a look at some of the appendixes. Julie, would you like to start us off with what's in the appendixes?
Sure. I've heard often that there's two types of people, those who read introductions and appendixes and those appendices and those who don't. So if you're one of those people who doesn't, this will be fun. This will be brand new something for you. I love the appendices and the footnotes and all of that. So this is going to be a real thrill for me to kind of walk us through. So appendix number one, it has the prayers in it, and it begins on page 137 in the book, and it starts with the Morning Glory consecration prayer.
It mentions here a short one. Is that something maybe you'd want to say daily, the short one?
You definitely could. It would fit on a little index card. You could put it in your bathroom or in your car and say that each day if the other one is feels too long or cumbersome mm-hmm. to you. There's a lot of freedom in how we can go forward and continue the consecration. So the consecration prayer of St. Louis de Montfort is also in there. The one specifically written by St. Maximilian Kolbe is there. And then one of the things we've talked about a couple of times is Consoling the Heart of Jesus, which is Father Michael Gately's second book. And he's got those prayers in there as well on page 139. For those people who maybe were not raised Catholic, or that maybe you were, but Mary's kind of a new part of the faith to you, the other Marian prayers are in here are just beautiful. And I love reading through these kind of just slowly and taking my time and learning more prayers than I knew before,
mm-hmm.
as well as the specific lines in each one. I think every prayer has like a go-to theme for us. And one of them is the Ave Maristella. And recently, Mary Beth and I had an occasion to actually memorize that with the kids.
Well, actually, Julie memorizes everything in like less than 1 week. Or me, it took about 8 months.
Right,
but honestly, I was determined to just memorize that because I want to really be able to recall some of these prayers with my children. So we do our consecration prayer and the Ave Maria Stella. And we've been doing it now for about 18 months, just every morning the minute our feet hit the car inside. That's the first thing before we leave the driveway.
Well, what's great about that prayer for memorizing is it rhymes. none of the other ones actually have rhyme. So I think, especially with kids, you can kind of get into a groove saying that one together. So let's move on to Appendix 2. It talks a lot about what is the rosary and why do we pray the rosary, and then the mysteries of the rosary and actually the prayers and how to pray the rosary. I think for me it's a little bit hard to read how to pray the rosary, but almost every Catholic church I've ever been in during the week has a recitation of or praying of the rosary either before or after their daily mass. And if you have a way to get there and pray it live with a group of folks who pray it every day and know it well, you just can soak in it versus trying to flip back and forth and figure out if you're saying the right prayers in the right order. So,
Julie, there's also several great rosary apps. If you've got a smartphone, just go to your app store. There's many of them that are free. All platforms have them.
Yeah, and Father Michael Gately's order, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, have a rosary app, a Marian app, and it talks about the devotion there. And you can push play and listen to it, which is great to hear it, how it is done in order. The mysteries of the rosary are all in the second appendix, and they even have pictures of them, which really helped me a lot to just kind of dive into the mystery and keep my mind on what I'm doing instead of the grocery list or.
And if you are new to the rosary, it's important to realize that the whole purpose of the rosary is to meditate on Christ. It is all about his life growing up. And how many of us have ever been having a conversation with one person while our mind is off doing something else? And you're wandering in and out. And that's the beauty of the rosary is our minds are capable of really doing two things at once. So this limits us to the two things that we do. I'm not aware of anybody that can do three at once. So the reciting of the prayers and the focusing on the mysteries keeps us focused.
And we've often heard that if you ever want to learn more about, say, a particular friend or a child, who's the person that you would go to and
their
spend time
mother?
With? It would be their mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it is their mother. But you know what I wanted to emphasize was back on yesterday when Father Gately, when he put the prayers all together and said, you know what, you can say this consecration prayer, you can say the ones of the saints, or you can make up your own. With Pope Pius XII giving us that freedom, and see, this is the thing about our faith. It's just so rich and dense to praise God in so many ways. So whatever you're feeling, you're drawing from maybe prayers that are written, your own prayers, praise and worship music, everything that we have to give yourself to Jesus through Mary, you know, the boundaries are there within your love for God.
That's right, and that's a good thing, and there's so many creative people that really that speaks to them, and I encourage everybody to do what it seems best for you, and Father Michael was saying that by quoting Pope Pius XII as well. Just finishing up with Appendix 2, there's some great information about the scapular, the brown scapular, the blue scapular, and the miraculous medal, which Father Gately encourages us all to get and wear around the neck because of our consecration and as a sign of our consecration. But I love the background on it and what the importance of it is.
I think it'd be nice to read the first paragraph here on the brown and the blue scapular. A lot of people aren't familiar with those.
Brown scapular, also known as the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, is the most popular devotional scapular. Its popularity stems in large part from the famous apparition of Mary to St. Simon Stock, an English Carmelite, who lived during the mid-13th century. In the apparition, Mary reportedly held in her hands the brown habit of the Carmelite order, offered it to St. Simon, and said, "This will be for you, and for all the Carmelites, the privilege, that he who dies in this habit will be saved." The key words are these, "He who dies in this habit will be saved." In other words, the promise of Our Lady most likely meant that a faithful Carmelite religious who keeps his vows and lives according to the constitutions of his order, of which his religious garb is a symbol, will die in the state of grace. This promise does not seem so extraordinary when one considers that a faithful Carmelite religious is bound by his vows and constitutions to live a life of renunciation, dedication to prayer,
and love of God and neighbor.
And the scapular itself, then, is just a little brown cloth that you wear around the neck, symbolizing the full habit that a religious would wear, right?
Let's take a look at the blue scapulars. That one's actually is new to me. There's a tradition in the church that our Lord appeared to Venerable Ursula Benacasca, founder of the Order of the Theatine Nuns, who helped popularize the practice of wearing the blue scapular of the Immaculate Conception. It is believed that Jesus came to her and promised great favors for her order, and she asked that he grant some graces to those who wear the blue scapular in honor of the Immaculate Conception.
So picking up from there, Mary, we just have a couple more things in that appendix number 2. On page 172, we have the chaplet of the 10 evangelical virtues, which are beautiful ways to reflect upon the attributes of our Blessed Mother, and that is explained. And then the chaplet of the 7 sorrows of Mary, and that too is so important because we know that Mary is called Our Lady of Sorrows, and so as we think about those 7 sorrows and meditate on those, it helps us get closer to Scripture, and it helps us get closer to Our Lady by doing those. So those are just a few of the things in the appendices, and like I said, if I think it's well worth your time to read through those and to really just have that be the starting point maybe of the next several days, just as you're coming together with all the information we did to prepare for consecration and then just kind of sorting out what is going to be your response to this consecration gift and how will you love Our Lady more and stay close to her.
And can I give just a short story of just something that occurred and how you might be able to use these? Maybe this seems like a lot and maybe overwhelming, the scapular and the miraculous medal and the rosary and all that, but just one of the things that I learned, I've been wearing the miraculous medal for about 13 years when I kind of just miraculously found it in my house.
About of course you did.
eight weeks after my husband passed away, and it was just laying on the carpet after I had vacuumed the night before, and I didn't even know anything. It was a 4-way, so it has a lot
wow.
of power. But anyway, one of the things that happened at the beginning of this consecration, and I mentioned this friend before, her name's Kelly, and she has converted to Catholicism back in 2000, and she offered to lead a group for 33 days, and she says, you know, Mary Beth, I don't know a whole lot about Mary. I feel unworthy, but I just feel the zeal and desire, and I looked at her and just saw the love of God that she had in her, and you know, she's like, what do I do? And I said, look, here's the book, here's the DVD, but I'll be right back. I'll see you tomorrow. And I gave her a miraculous medal, got it blessed. And that's all. I don't have to do anything more. And I said, just put it around your neck. The Holy Spirit takes care of the rest. The graces that she has received with her group over the last 33 days, you know, just how just her love of Mary has increased. She sees things. And again, it's just one example. Maybe it might be a rosary that you give someone. Just we don't have to be theologians with 8-year degrees to do this. We just have to love and praise God and want to help others encounter Jesus. And it might be just a scapular or a piece of art or a Divine Mercy image, or just something that will help them to open up their hearts and receive what God really wants. But He's close. He's really close, and He's very close to us today.
It is time for us to take a break. What we're going to do for the rest of the show is we're going to listen to the contemporary Christian music that we've been highlighting throughout this last 33 days. There's some great songs that will bring us back to the lessons that we've learned in Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. Some of them we actually feel like were written just for the book. It's great. That's all coming up on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. We're going to just let you have some quiet meditative time now as you listen to music. Our first song is sung by Danielle Rose. It's called I Thirst. Following that, we're going to hear from Dee Simone and Martyr's Crown. And our final song in this segment is from Colin Ray. It's a classic, Ave Maria, on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses.
I thirst not for water. I thirst for belief. I thirst for your gaze to wash over me. I'm lonely and broken. I'm weary, forsaken. Why have you abandoned me?
Mother, hear
this break, we are going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy here on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. We are going to close our final show singing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with Donna Corey Gibson on Real Life Radio's Living Witnesses. If you're listening to the live show, you're going to miss the last few minutes of the chaplet. However, if you're listening to the podcast, you'll get the entire song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy.
Sorry.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.